We haven't done this song in a long time. I want to do Learning to Lean.
Oh, yeah.
I like that song. That's a good song. And that's what I'm learning to do. I'm learning to lean on Jesus, learning to trust Jesus, learning to believe Jesus. And as I learn and as I learn to obey, guess what? Jesus' power just pops out all around me. People end up getting healed and delivered and all kinds of neat things. You know, it's learning to lean on Jesus. Learning to walk with Jesus. Learning to talk to Jesus is all part of crossing over the River Jordan. Learning to trust Him, believing. People say to me all the time, I believe in Jesus. You know what I tell them, Scott? I say that in a nickel 40 years ago to buy you a cup of coffee. But he can't raise your daughter from the dead. Can't bring her out of a coma. When the doctors say there's no hope. So I believe in Jesus. But can't get rid of sugar diabetes. Or take a drug addict off of heroin with no withdrawal. Anybody can believe in Jesus. Anybody can. But it takes some root. It takes something inside. In here. That comes from above. Not from beneath, it comes from above. It takes that root to believe Jesus. And it's got to be given. It can't be earned. It's already bought and paid for. It's paid for by Jesus. And if you try to pay for it yourself, it's an insult to God. It's an insult. If I give you a present and you try to pay for it, you'll insult me. That's the last present you'll ever get from me. God gives us a gift of eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ, bought and paid for by His life and blood. You try to turn around and earn it. You try to buy it with your works and your goodness. That's an insult. It's an insult. This free thing that comes down from above, put in you by God. It's called the new man. Some call it the rebirth. See, born again is the second birth. I was born the first time by my mother and my daddy. But I was born a second time by the Spirit of God. My mother and daddy that gave birth to this body knew when they gave birth to it, it would die. And God did too. That's why He gave me another birth that was everlasting. You only get that birth when you believe God. When you believe Him. You believe His Word. You don't take my word for anything. Say, that preacher, he's got some good things to say. We'll read it and find out if it's true. If it's in the book says it, then keep it. Praise God. Amen. I don't care who a person is. Some little old preacher in flat feet, gray suit, and a tent. some guy in some big gigantic building with fancy robes. We all die. I don't care if you're the Pope, Billy Graham, Tomlinson, Brandon, Allen, Roberts, Hall. The only thing you can stand on is that right there. And I don't care who writes what book. If it doesn't agree with that, it's a lie. You learn to believe Jesus. Then you learn to do the works of Jesus. Jesus said, any man or he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he will do also, yea, far greater works than these. Jesus preached the gospel, he healed the sick, he cast out devils, he raised the dead, and he did miracles. Hallelujah. So does Richard Usler. It's not because Richard Usler is good, it's because Richard Usler believes on Jesus. What does it mean to believe on Jesus? It means to believe him. Duh. That's all it means. That's all the world means. To believe him. Believe him. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Then by God you believe it. That's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. Anything you add to that is to make you look good. And all you look like is funny with your little fig leaves pasted all over you. Give me the garment given to the friend by the groom. The wedding garment, which is the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb of God. He gives that garment to his friend. And they rejoice with him when the bride cometh down. Somebody said to me one day, Richard, aren't you glad to be part of the bride? I said, oh, I'm not part of the bride. Said, you're not. I said, no. I'm the friend of the bridegroom. I'm going to be standing by his side watching the bride come. He said, where will I be? I said, most likely in hell. Unless you get your identity straight. Amen. You can't believe Jesus and call yourself a bride. People say, Richard, why do you pick on this church, that church? I pick on all churches. I'm not prejudiced. I pick on the Mormons, the Catholics, the Baptists, the Methodists, Pentecostals. It don't matter. Jehovah's Witness. I don't care. I don't care what church you belong to, you got something wrong with it. And if anybody thinks that they don't have something wrong with it, then they're stupid. They're stupid. The only perfect man ever was is Jesus. The only perfect man ever is going to be is Jesus. Bible says so. So you want to go out and condemn the Catholics? You don't want to condemn the Catholics. You want to condemn the Catholics? Condemn yourself. You want to condemn the Baptists? Condemn yourselves. You want to condemn the Presbyterian? Condemn yourselves. You want to condemn the Jehovah Witnesses? Condemn yourselves. You want to condemn the Mormons? Condemn yourselves. We don't condemn these people. We may condemn lies, false teachings, but we're fair about it. We pick on them all. Amen? Sometimes God even picks on me. And I thank Him for it when He does. It taught me something. Trust this book. You heard me. Some of you heard me say this before. And I'm going to say it again. John Kennedy Jr. would be alive today if he knew how to fly by instruments. He'd be alive today if he knew how to fly by instruments. But all he knew how to fly by was sight. That old plane got upside down, crashed. Because he couldn't tell whether he was up, down, or sideways, or what. There are people in hell today. There are people in hell right now as I speak that wouldn't be there today if they'd read this book and flown by it. You don't fly by feelings, folks. You hear that, daughter? You hear that, son? You don't follow God with your feelings. If you do, you'll get it wrong. Feelings will mislead you. I've had feelings take me down some places I should never have gone. Had kept me there too when I shouldn't have been there. But for the grace of God, I wouldn't have gotten out of there. This old flesh will lie to you. It'll tell you something's good when it's not. Tell you something's not good when it is. There's people all over this community out here won't come to this tent because their flesh is telling them, oh, don't go there, it's not good. They came here, they could be healed and delivered and receive the blessings of God. This is your instruments. It's the only thing you trust that you can see with your eye. Believe it. And when your feelings say, that can't be right, believe it anyway. When circumstances say it can't be right, believe it anyway. When you come out of those clouds, you'll be right. Learning to lean on Jesus. Learning to talk to Jesus. Learning to walk with Jesus. Learning to believe Jesus. That's what it's all about. And as you accomplish that, next thing you know, you start stepping across that water. But it's not water. It's dry land. And then you walk up to some little lady and say, you got sugar in your blood? Not anymore. You're healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Come up to some little lady that's got leg problems and all stuff wrong with her. You're healed now in Jesus' name. And then you're healed, aren't you? Amen. Come up with a woman that's crippled. Doctors say never walk again. Say you walk in Jesus' name. She gets up and walks. And you've been walking ever since, haven't you? Made the doctors a liar. Amen. Woman plagued with migraine headaches and sciatica. Delivered. Gone. Never to return. That's the power of God. That's the power of our Jesus. And all it takes is doing what this song says. All it takes. And you can still drink your morning coffee. And even have it with peanut butter and toast if you want. Because God doesn't care. He don't care. And if you like a Pepsi Cola in the heat of the day, that's all right. He doesn't care. He could care less. I mean, you stop and think about it, church. Think about it. Just use the common sense God gave you. What a petty God. If he cared whether you drank Pepsi or Coke or water. What a petty, 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 petty God. Stupid God. That's a God of the heathen. That ain't a God of the creation. My God created all things. Said it's good. Use it right, it's good. Now, I don't suggest that you take Coca-Cola and inject it in your veins. That might be bad for you. Huh? I don't think you ought to go and snort it. You might drown. So I suggest you don't go snorting Coca-Cola or shooting it up in your veins. Amen, Brother Steve? You won't do that now, will you? All right. But it won't matter if you drink a little bit. You might not want to drink too much. You could burst. Huh? Use a little common sense. Think God really cares 1 ounce whether you drink a glass of Coke or a glass of milk? Give me a break. It's just ways that people use to put other people down and elevate themselves, and that makes them just like Lucifer, workers of iniquity. Jesus said, not everyone coming to me saying, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. But he that doeth the will of my Father. The will of the Father is that you love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and you love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Love your brother in the Lord, and your sister in the Lord. Keep his commandments. What are his commandments? Love your neighbor. Love your brother or sister. He said, this is how you're going to know you're my disciples. This is how the world will know you're my disciples. You're not going to drink Pepsi Cola. Didn't say that. You're right, it didn't. He said, by this they'll know you're my disciples for your love one toward another. Didn't mention Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, or anything like that. This is how they'll know you're my disciples. You'll never smoke a cigarette. How can people be so stupid? It's darkness, that's what it is. But if you get in the light, the darkness goes away. Huh? Just get in the light. Get in the Word. Let's sing that song, and then I'm going to let you guys turn it back over to Steve, and he can preach, or let somebody else preach, or something. I'll give you a rest. Good. Now, we don't take up offerings, so don't get scared and run out thinking you're going to be taking up an offering here. But, Scott, why don't you come up? No. I picked on you before. Dan, come on in the tent here. Hurry up. Come on. We ain't got all night. Say something for the Lord and give it to Scott.
Well, I guess the main thing I would say was I came up here being raised in a Pioneer Church of Christ family, not believing in much of the power of God, no healing or anything like that. And I get up here and I see some things happen, like with Jeff there, and kind of got my attention a little bit. And then I had my little problem I have once in a while with gout, and my ankle decided to flare up. So Richard comes up and he says, well, it's going to be gone now, not come back. So later on that night, it quit hurting, hadn't bothered me since. It normally takes 2 weeks of medicine to get rid of it.
Great
so
job.
It just didn't go away. And the other night, Paul and I were sitting out here, and he was talking about something that happened to him, about Richard come up and whacked him on the leg. And he just happened to hit my knee, showing somebody what happened. And I said, I've been wanting to get my knee fixed. I've been wanting to talk to Richard about that. So he said, be healed in the name of Jesus. Well, now my knee's much better. So looks like it's curing itself.
Jesus is.
And that's been years being that way. So I guess that's all I have to say.
Praise God.
Praise Jesus. Praise God.
You know, almost everybody in this tent, I don't know, almost everybody in this tent has experienced the power of God in miraculous, in ways that would be impossible to explain in any natural sense. And that's what's interesting about the God that we serve. His power supersedes, overrules, and is a higher court over the power of the worldly powers and principalities. And because of that, we can trust Him to do things in our lives that we wouldn't be able to think of or figure out in a natural way. Richard mentioned my mother-in-law, B. Talked about Paul. I know John. Never had much to say. He's a guy who talks. He's a guy who's got a lot to say. He's animated. I know all the people in this tent that have come to the Lord through all different kinds of things, had all different kinds of experiences. And it's that power that the world needs. And it's what we're doing here. Our message, our mission is to make disciples and to bring people to the full knowledge of the power and authority of Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven. And when they know that, they can go out and bring it to other people and make more disciples and glorify Him further. Why? What's that all about? What does God have? What is it that God wants from us or for us that makes it necessary for us to do this? He wants to share everything about Himself with us. Because in Christ Jesus were we reconciled unto God as adopted sons into the kingdom of heaven to share in the full power and glory of the Father in heaven.
Hallelujah.
Think of the miracle that is. And it's happened in all these people's lives. You can see when you look at somebody, if they've had that experience, if they say, wow, isn't that something? I remember when I first came to the Lord, it wasn't very long ago. I remember, and I was driving down the road. And I pray in my car because it's like a prayer closet. You know, it's little and it's, you know, it's intimate. And I'm alone. The Bible says, good thing to do, pray alone. I'm driving down the road. And I think I'd probably accepted the Lord maybe a week earlier, maybe 2 weeks. And all of a sudden, things started happening inside my head. And the Lord showed me that before I knew His name, that He protected me through drug addiction, through alcohol, through violence in the cities. He brought me to the place where I worked. He brought me to the place where I lived. He delivered me of all kinds of malfunctions mentally. He provided a wife for me that also came to Christ right at the same time. And by the miracle of His power, because He is in and through and around everything, He provided me with the kind of glory in my own soul that I have never even, couldn't possibly have imagined. And it is that power and that glory that we, as believers on Jesus Christ, are reconciled to through His sacrifice on the cross, by His blood. And I praise the Lord for everybody in this tent tonight. Hallelujah and glory to Jesus Christ. Can you give me a Rise Shine?
Yeah, absolutely.
Play that song, Ricky. And I'll turn it back over to Steve. What are you doing with that?
Hallelujah. Man, there's been quite the change in that boy, huh?
That's
just in 4 months. That's just in 4 months. You know, one thing I want to say just before we get out of here tonight, we're singing that song, Learning to Lean, and I'm you know, more power than I've ever dreamed. Some of you folks know my background before I came to know the Lord. And one of the things before I came to know the Lord, I mean, before I ever knew Him, one of the things I knew is I knew just the tremendous amount of suffering that was out here in the world. I had been experiencing an overdose of seeing people suffer in the world. I mean, I'd been a lot of places and seen a lot of suffering, suffering that most people who've been in this country have never seen. And I remember times sitting there in different places and just bawling. I remember a place in Honduras. Honduras was a brutally poor place and had a brutal military operating in there. And I remember just being overwhelmed personally with a sense of, you know, what could we do about this? I mean, it was awful. Some of the things that are going on out here in this world are awful. And I tell you, and I thank Jesus, I thank God for this. And a big part of it was actually today for me personally in seeing this. Because this town of Claremont is a town that's been under oppression. Like, I mean, under real oppression. I mean, this was a place that was once a thriving community, a bustling community. You can go down and look down at the along the river and you see nothing but factory after factory after factory after factory, all of them closed. And those people now are out here on the streets and in different places working at McDonald's or at Walmart or what have you. But that which they once had, they don't have, and they haven't had for a while. And if you've ever lived in a place where people have lost hope, I mean, it's an astonishing place to be. And Claremont's a place that lost hope. And the beautiful thing about the Lord Jesus Christ, and that I thank God He chose me. Okay, because and also people who know me know that I did not choose Him. I was not looking for a guy by the name of Jesus when I met the Lord. But I thank God that He chose me, and He took that guy who used to look out here at the world and look at the things that were going on and just be overwhelmed with grief at what I saw out there. And He took this guy, and He showed me His way. And in showing me His way, I know that now these people have hope. I have hope for these people. And today, we went forth, and as Richard said, everything's won first in the Spirit before it happens in the natural. And so today, we took Claremont in the Spirit.
Amen.
And I thank God for that.
Amen.
I thank God for the folks out here. And I thank God very much for that. And I look forward to meeting some of those people who have been liberated. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Well, we're here through next Saturday, 7 o'clock each evening. Everybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome. Gary, I know you got to work some of these, but you can get off. Come on down. But everybody's welcome here. And it'll be 7 o'clock every night till Saturday. Bring folks. Bring folks. Bring the lame. Bring the blind. Bring those that don't have a leg. Bring those that are hurting out here. Bring them. Bring them. God wants to give them that life and more abundantly that He has promised.
Amen.
He wants to give them. Jesus didn't turn the people away. His disciples sometimes said, hey, take them away. You know, I mean, look, they're bothering like this blind guy along the road, you know. Jesus, thou son of David. And they're like rebuking him. Jesus didn't rebuke him. He said, what can I do for you? He said, that I might receive my sight. He said, I'll be healed in the name of Jesus. I mean, he didn't say be healed in the name of Jesus. He was the Jesus. But he said, be healed, receive thy sight. And the guy received his sight. That's our God. He's the same today. And He wants to do the same thing for the folks out here who are hurting today as He did back then.
Amen.
So, Lord, and folks out there, if you're listening on the radio, if you're listening to radio, come down. Don't stay outside. God's got good things for you in here.
Amen.
Amen? And you folks, if you haven't ever seen that before and you wonder, man, that seems kind of strange. I ain't never seen nothing like that. A leg come back and stuff like that. Well, bring them on in. Come on back. Keep coming back. And let God show you. Amen?
Amen.
All right, well, I know we're about ready to end up on our tape here. You got a song you want to close out with here?
Yeah, I figured we'd go out with a few songs tonight.
A few songs?
Praising the Lord.
Praising the Lord songs?
You like that idea?
That sounds good to me.
I like that idea.